Think about your dinner table. Not the furniture itself, but who sits where. Nobody assigned those seats, yet everyone knows their spot. Your dad's chair at the head, mom's place closest to the kitchen, the corner where your teenager hunches over their phone. These invisible boundaries aren't about territory, they're about something deeper. Having a place at the table means you belong, you're known, you're in. This simple truth unlocks something profound about human nature. We're wired for connection in ways we rarely acknowledge. Watch a newborn lock eyes with their mother, or elderly couples shuffling arm in arm through grocery stores, and you'll see it. This desperate, beautiful need to be known and loved despite our flaws. Yet, here's the paradox. The very thing we crave most terrifies us. Intimacy requires vulnerability, and vulnerability means someone can use their knowledge of us either to embrace us or wound us. It demands we admit neediness when everything in us screams to appear strong and self-sufficient. Whether you're an extrovert or introvert, whether you realize it or not, you were made for this kind of connection. With it, you can face anything. Without it, even your greatest achievements taste like dust. Unlike old Model T cars that lacked gas gauges, people don't come with visible intimacy meters. Yet we all carry an emotional tank waiting to be filled with love. Several myths keep this tank perpetually low, starting with the belief that intimacy should be easy. It's not. Moving from Scotland with his wife, where they'd built a solid relationship, to having children, the author discovered early parenthood was like a grenade exploding their marriage into something entirely different. Just when you reach a happy place, something changes. New roles, aging parents, difficult coworkers. Another myth suggests intimacy erases your identity, like blowing out individual candles after lighting the unity candle at weddings. But true intimacy differs from fusion. Fusion occurs when boundaries disappear and one person's neediness consumes the other. Healthy intimacy enhances rather than erases identity, two flames burning brighter together. Perhaps the biggest myth equates intimacy with sex. Sex is physical. Intimacy is emotional investment. When combined, they're extraordinary, but prioritizing physical over emotional leads to problems. Marriage reveals emotional immaturity with surgical precision. Despite his psychology background, the author discovered his superpower was brooding, withdrawing into polite distance whenever upset. At his rehearsal dinner, he became quietly distant with Nancy over some forgotten slight. Then, during their Wisconsin honeymoon, he spent poolside time reading a Freud biography instead of connecting with his new wife. When she finally demanded he put the book down, he criticized her language rather than recognizing her plea for connection. This misses what intimacy actually means. Philosopher Dallas Willard offers the best definition. Intimacy is shared experience. Our experiences shape who we are, and when we share them with others, we're sharing our lives. Intimacy isn't built on grand romantic gestures, but on thousands of tiny moments. Asking about someone's day, remembering they hate cilantro, offering encouragement, or simply putting down your book to listen. Consider Jesus and his disciples. For 3 years, they walked, ate, learned, and prayed together, roughly 10,200 hours total, right around Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000-hour rule for mastering a craft. What craft were they mastering? Around this milestone, Jesus gave them his new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. Their shared experience was essentially an apprenticeship in love. People confuse love and intimacy. Thomas Aquinas defined love as willing someone's good, working for them to become who God created them to be. While no one can prevent us from loving them, intimacy requires reciprocation, like the father who loved his prodigal son but couldn't experience intimacy until the son returned. When you comfort a crying child, your voice literally gets inside their head. Years later, they'll self-soothe with internalized phrases. Honey, honey, I know, I know. This attachment process wires the brain for security, enabling confident exploration. Newborns gradually develop preference for primary caregivers through attachment, a blend of dependence and love. The irony, Adults need healthy differentiation to form deep attachments. We must become separate individuals capable of loving without neediness. God's creation pattern involves separation before joining, taking woman from Adam's side to create an equal who could truly love him. Our relationship with God mirrors this parent-child pattern. What psychologists call attachment, the Bible calls faith. Research reveals that in marriages heading for divorce, husbands disregard their wife's bids 82% of the time versus 19% in stable relationships. These bids, questions, gestures, looks, touches, say, "I want to feel connected to you." People respond by accepting, rejecting, or ignoring them. In healthy relationships, invitations are skillfully issued and joyfully received, creating emotional deposits that generate more invitations. Jesus mastered intimacy, fearlessly extending invitations despite possible rejection. He connected with a Samaritan woman, called Zacchaeus down from a tree, welcomed dismissed children, and pursued everyone from fishermen to Pharisees. His invitation, "Follow me," remains the greatest ever offered. Self-awareness creates critical distance between us and our emotions, yet reveals our brokenness, making intimacy our fear. Paul articulated the golden rule of intimacy: rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. When someone notices our emotional state and responds with empathy, we experience feeling felt. Commitment and intimacy anchor our relationships and identities through the promises we make. Commitments create what Lewis Smeds calls small islands of certainty in an uncertain world. Like trapeze artists trusting their catchers, we must surrender to another's promise. Weddings epitomize this. The essence isn't the celebration, but the vow made before witnesses who provide accountability. When intimacy exceeds commitment, hurt follows. When commitment exceeds intimacy, hearts grow disappointed. Though commitment comes with costs, surrendering freedom, individuality, and control, commitment makers experience a deeper freedom that avoiders never know, the freedom of being fully known and fully loved. Dr. Bill Thomas introduced plants, dogs, cats, and parakeets into Chase Memorial Nursing Home, where residents were dying from boredom and loneliness. They began to wake up and come to life, revealing our fundamental need to belong. Eden was God's original picture, humans walking with God, naked and unashamed, connected to creation. The fall brought walls separating us from intimacy, and we've been building barriers since. Technology creates one such wall. Children spend over 7 hours daily on screens, and only 35% of teens regularly socialize face-to-face. John Gottman predicts divorce with 90% accuracy by identifying his four horsemen: criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. Perhaps the biggest barrier is feeling overwhelmed, relationships aren't efficient, and hurry is intimacy's enemy. Two defining moments: accidentally saying breasts instead of breath during a public reading, and confessing his deepest flaws to his friend Rick, who responded, "I've never loved you more than I love you right now." Most of us view authority and vulnerability as opposites: maximize one, minimize the other. But God created us for both. Authority is the capacity for meaningful action, what teachers have in classrooms. Vulnerability is exposure to meaningful risk. Jesus embodied both: born helpless, experiencing hunger and thirst, dying on a cross, while performing miracles and teaching with unparalleled authority. The Bible story of Jacob illustrates this perfectly. After stealing his father's blessing, Jacob wrestles with God and emerges with both a blessing and a permanent limp. This vulnerability may have softened his brother Esau's heart when they reunited. Esau ran to embrace Jacob, while Jacob could only limp toward him. Henry Cloud notes that God placed our tear ducts in our eyes, not hidden in armpits or between toes, because our tears are meant to be visible. We are vulnerable by design. Our limps, divorce, business failure, disability, addiction, loneliness may never disappear, but God can use them to create authentic connection and unexpected strength. A toddler's escalating threats, from I hit you to I squish you, reveals our innate struggle with conflict. Ruptures occur when connection breaks, negative emotions surface, communication strains, eye contact disappears, and we interpret everything negatively. What sustains intimacy isn't avoiding conflict, but how we repair it. A repair attempt is any statement or action that prevents negativity from escalating out of control. Even something silly works to signal we're still okay. When emotions flood, our brain shifts from the thinking cerebral cortex to the reactive bird brain, moving from reasoned thought to pure self-protection. Research shows that 96% of the time, you can predict a 15-minute conversation's outcome from the first 3 minutes, yet we rarely plan difficult conversations carefully. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams shared deep affection for decades until political rivalry tore them apart. After 10 years of silence, they reconnected as old men, both dying on July 4th, 50 years after independence. Few phrases carry more power than "I'm sorry, please forgive me." Creating intimacy means building a private culture with unique rituals and language. Nicknames communicate intimate attachment, signaling "I know you" in a way no one else can share. Paul commands joy because joyful people are more compassionate, generous, develop deeper friendships, stay married longer, and show greater resilience. He also commands us to mourn with others. Though nothing changes when we share their sorrow, they're no longer alone, which changes everything. Tears activate connection by signaling vulnerability. Listening is key to understanding who needs our presence. Patrick Morley discovered that despite professional success, his relationships were superficial and utility-based. As his career advanced, more people wanted his time for what he could offer, while those who needed him most, his children, received the least. This led his family to prioritize relationships based on who's going to be crying at our funeral. The Boys in the Boat tells how 9 working-class boys won gold at the 1936 Berlin Olympics by achieving swing, perfect unison, where their bodies moved in complete synchrony, experiencing what their mentor called the spiritual value of rowing. True intimacy requires shared meaning and purpose beyond just happiness. The Bible might better be understood as a love story, revealing the mystery of intimacy. In Genesis 15, God makes a covenant with Abraham where, remarkably, God alone walks between the sacrifice pieces, bearing the curse of any broken covenant himself, ultimately fulfilled when Christ died on the cross. A 4-year-old would exclaim, "Bring in the love," when wanting affection, then pat his mother's back, saying, "There it is, there's the love." Jesus came down the ladder to bring in the love, making it possible for us to become real. Your place at the table isn't earned through achievement. It's held by grace, waiting for you to show up, vulnerable and real, ready to bring in the love.